Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:18 PM, that is Pacific summertime, and today is April 30th. Well, it was an interesting day on stock markets today, what we had was a bit of a turnaround in the technology sector, but then there are an increasing number of consumer-related shares that are breaking on the upside. So I'll look at some of those in a moment. But what I wanted to kick off by talking about really was that I've created a number of charts, and I'm going to post them in comment of the day today, that look at the S&P 500, gold, oil, and the total return on bonds, and multiply them by the purchasing power of the dollar. Because when we look at these long-term charts, then we can get some idea, not simply about what the nominal appreciation of the assets has been over time, but also starting to consider that fiat currencies have been losing their purchasing power for decades. And that does have an impact, that it doesn't really make a great deal of sense to talk about whether a currency is going to appreciate or not over such a long period of time, unless you are going to compare it against other currencies. But when we're simply talking about the performance of assets, then it is, I think, best to look at them in terms of their purchasing power. That is a different way of thinking about markets and the appreciation that you get over these very long-term cycles. So, for example, when you look at the S&P 500 multiplied by the purchasing power of the dollar, well, we know the dollar has lost approximately 90-something-odd percent of its purchasing power over the last 100 years. That has not stopped the S&P 500 from moving from the bottom left to the top right. But what it has contributed to is that, generally speaking, the periods where it has gone sideways have been lengthier than they would be when we look at this, when we look at it on a nominal scale. So, for example, when the S&P 500 broke upwards out of its lengthy range in 1981, well, on a purchasing power basis, then what that really helped to emphasize is that this was the peak of the inflationary period, and it was inflation starting to come back down that really turned into a massive period of outperformance for stocks. Then when we look at the most recent range, well, we still have the peak in 1999, but it didn't break out to new all-time highs until 2015, so we had a 15-year range on that basis. Well, in nominal terms, we know that it broke out in 2013, and it is still going up. Now, this is, I think, rather interesting, because there's still this continued debate going on about whether we're going to have an inflationary outcome or not. But what it makes sense, at least to my mind, that stocks, most particularly stocks that have got either high margins or pricing power, should perform in an inflationary environment, because they have the potential to raise prices, and you just don't have that with bonds. If we look at the same measure for bonds, and again this is a logarithmic scale chart, well, there's certainly a rolling over characteristic, but it also helps to emphasize just how powerful the bull market has been since 1981. Now, unfortunately, we just don't have enough of back history on bond yields to go back before that to give us the same breadth of long-term data that we have for the stock market. But it has certainly been an incredible bull market since the 1980s, but it does look like it is now starting to roll over. And then we look at hard assets like oil. Well, oil prices obviously surged higher in any way, or in any way you want to define that, in the 1970s. But then they gave up the vast majority of that bull market all the way through the 1980s before surging again, and really giving up all of it again during the crashes that we've seen on two separate occasions since 2008. Well, oil prices are starting to rally once more from what is the equivalent of a $5 area on a purchasing power basis. Then when we look at the gold price, then we can see that gold, in fact, has held up substantially better than oil as a hedge against the loss of purchasing power over the course of the last decade. And it is still trading relatively close to the peaks that it put in back in at least on this basis, in 2010 and again in 1980. When we start to think about it in those terms, then perhaps it is worth taking a look at charts on a nominal scale. Because when, for example, we look at the S&P 500, well, we're presented with a reasonably consistent advance that accelerated in the latter part of last year and is now in a process of, is in a corrective phase. The index was in negative territory in here today, and it has bounced over the last four sessions, and the big question I think many people will be asking is the extent to which it can continue to find support in the region of the trend mean. So far, it has been able to do that, and it's holding above this 2500 point level, but there's no denying that we're still in a corrective phase and for the broad market, and there is still this progression of lower rally highs within that range. The NASDAQ 100 has been the clear outperformer, and it moved on to new all-time highs in March, wasn't quite able to hold that, and came all the way back down to the region of the trend mean. And it is now, I think, the big question is whether it is going to continue to hold the region of the trend mean. I think that the more likely scenario is that we are going to have some additional volatile ranging, and that range is probably going to be somewhere between 6 and 7,000. And of course, we're right in the middle of that range right now. But there are an increasing number of shares that are breaking on the upside. But there is one thing that seems there's a thread that we can draw between all of them. And when we look at the cosmetic sector and the luxury goods sector, then they have pricing power. And generally speaking, when we look at these kinds of trends, and most particularly when the rest of the market is going sideways or indeed going down, then this pattern of outperformance is suggestive of the fact that these are the kinds of companies that have got reasonably reliable cash flows. Now, Microsoft also has reasonably reliable cash flows, not least since it adopted a subscription model, but it was in negative territory in here today. It has not quite held the breakout to new highs that we saw on Friday. And Intel is pretty similar in that regard. Now, the semiconductor sector has been outperforming over the course of this bull market in the last few years. And it did move on to new high ground in March, but it has pulled back and it is now back towards the lower side of the evolving three-month range and right in the region of the trend mean. So now the question is whether this 1200 point level is going to continue to hold. We have certainly had an uptick in volatility. We've had a much larger pullback than at any time we've seen in at least the last two or three years. This is exactly the area where support should be found, if indeed it is going to be found. So I think the bigger question then is whether this corrective phase is, certainly we've seen a rotation into different sectors. Then the question is, what's going to happen with the bond market? Because one of the reasons that those kinds of companies that have got reliable cash flows had been underperforming was because bond yields had been rising, and they're often viewed as bond proxies. Well, the 10-year Treasury got up to about 3%, and it has pulled back over the last three sessions. In normal circumstances, one might conclude that we're in for some additional consolidation. But quite apart from the fact that we are starting to see inflationary pressures rising, but also we're in a period of time where there is a large quantity of additional supply that is coming onto the market from both the fiscal stimulus, the USA's intention to run trillion-dollar deficits for the foreseeable future, as well as the refinancing schedule. And when you have that quantity of additional supply hitting the market, then it is only reasonable that people would begin to think about demanding a higher yield. But there is an overbought condition relative to the trend mean. So we may see an additional pause in this area. Well, if government bond yields pause in what has been a bearish environment for most of the last 6 months, and if the yield starts to steady, then that should take some weight off of some of what might be considered bond proxies. And there are certainly defensive characteristics among the luxury goods sectors and the cosmetics sectors. And when, for example, we look at the tobacco sector, it has been selling off very aggressively over the course of the last few months. And that has been universally true, regardless of which side of the Atlantic or indeed Japan one is looking at. There has been a great deal of selling pressure in the tobacco sector. This is about as defensive as a sector gets. And if it starts to move back to a position of outperformance, well, then that would be representative of increasing demand for, I think, a safe haven. Now, when we look at the gold price, it has been pulling back over the course of the last few weeks, but now it is right in the region of the lower side of this evolving 3 month range. It has unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean and is approximating the region of the trend mean once more. So this is about where we can anticipate that if support is going to be found, it should be starting to come back in pretty soon. And the silver price was down about 13 cents in here today and is coming right back down towards this $16 area. It was off the lows in here today, but it is certainly going to need a clear upward dynamic, similar to the other dynamics we've seen from above the $16 area over the course of the last 3 months to confirm a return to demand dominance in here right now. Then you have the oil price, which was up about 50 cents in here today, reversed an earlier decline, and is closing the day out above the $75 area once more. So one of the points that I think is worth highlighting is that oil prices have rallied pretty impressively, and there is now about approximately an $11 overextension relative to the trend mean. They've been rallying in a very persistent manner, and part of the reason for that is because of the backwardation, which is evident all the way out to 2023. So there is a short-term supply shortage at the present moment, and that is helping to add some additional fuel to the bullish environment. But when we have the potential for rising yields over the medium term, and we have higher oil prices as well, and we have what is still a corrective phase on stock markets, then there is risk in this environment. And it is not, I think, untoward to think that with the VIX now back at 15, that we may be in for some additional volatility. That generally speaking, it takes some time for volatility to come back down after spiking up to 50, and it is now right in the region of the trend mean, and we're starting to see some evidence of it firming again. The technology sector has been such a clear outperformer over the course of the last few years, and Amazon was reporting last week but has not quite been able to hold on to all of the advance that we saw on Friday, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today. Netflix, which had also been able to push on to new high ground, has pulled back and is still holding around this $300 area. And then you've got Tesla, which I think people are looking at with increasingly a leery aspect, because there was even a story today, or at least a graphic on one of Bloomberg's stories, where it shows Elon Musk burning money. That at least highlights to me that sentiment has turned quite bearish towards Tesla. And the reality is that it has pulled back below $300, and $300 now represents an area of resistance. It absolutely, well, it, in order to reassert the demand-dominated environment, it would have to sustain a move above the $300 area. This is still a broadly corrective environment, so the likelihood is that we are going to have some additional volatility. When we then look out to Europe, the FTSE 100 was in additional positive territory in here today, and when we look at some of the European markets, they were also in mildly positive territory, and part of the reason for that is because the dollar has been weak, the dollar has been strong versus the euro and the pound. Now it's coming right back down towards this 120 level versus the euro. The euro is coming back down to test the $1.20 area. Let me just get that correct. This has been an area of, it had been an area of resistance. It should offer an area of support if the medium-term bull market is going to remain intact. So now the big question is, how much is the dollar capable of rallying, considering that on the one hand, you do have an interest rate differential that is likely to widen when you think that the Federal Reserve is rearming its interest rate weapons, whereas the Europeans and the UK are still in easy monetary territory. But then you have the fact that the USA is running these very large deficits. So the big question then is whether this is going to represent an area of support. Well, if the dollar rallies through 120, then that is likely to act as a tailwind for European stock markets. Then when we look at what's going on in China, what we are definitely starting to see evidence of is that the administration there is taking some notice of the underperformance of the stock market. They have delayed the imposition of additional regulations on the financial sector, and they cut the reserve requirement for the banks last week. So the H-share index is bouncing from this 12,000 level, and this represents the area of the trend mean and the medium-term progression of higher reaction lows. So as long as it is holding that 12,000 area, then I think investors are going to remain reasonably sanguine about the market. It is also, I think, worth highlighting that Tencent had come all the way back down to test the region of the trend mean, and we saw initial signs today that it might be steadying here. But I think that there is plenty of risk in this share, considering this is the largest pullback we've seen following what was a very impressive acceleration last year. Then when we look at what's going on in Japan, well, the Nikkei was up an additional 148 points in here today. It is benefiting also in the same way that Europe is from the relative strength of the dollar, and that is helping to flatter the nominal prices of the respective indices. The second section was in mildly negative territory in here today, but it does continue to hold the 7,000 area. And when we look at India, then the index, it was up again in here today, and it is also continuing to bounce from that 10,000 level, but it is also benefiting from the relative strength of the US dollar. The rupee, as long as it's not surging lower, then I think people are going to be reasonably sanguine about the Indian market, not least because there is this looming imposition of technological innovation into the consumer sector through the rollout of 4G and what is likely to be a digital revolution for the domestic economy, and that is likely to have a rather profound effect on the stock market. Now, when we just take a step back and simply look at the consistency of the trends on Wall Street, then we did have acceleration. We have had a larger pullback. Now we're in a ranging phase, and these kinds of medium-term corrections can last for anything from 6 to 18 months, so we're not out of it just yet. But what we are seeing is that an increasing number of globally oriented companies and are starting to break on the upside, but that there has been a great deal of dispersion in terms of the performance. So certainly the industrial sector has taken the brunt of the selling pressure, and certainly companies like 3M are Illinois Tool Works have been pulling back rather sharply, whereas the consumer sector has been firming up. McDonald's, for example, today was in positive territory and pushing away from this $160 area. I think it is also worth highlighting that a number of these kinds of shares tend to find support around the 3.5% level on their yields, and that McDonald's did that last back in 2015, and it has traded at considerably tighter yields than that over the course of the last few decades. So there, I think we have definitely got some evidence of a rotation that's going on, and the big question, I think, will be the extent to which the dollar's rally will continue. Then you look at Bitcoin, and there has been a progression of lower rally highs since December, and 10,000 represents an area of not just potential resistance, but it's a big psychological level for, I think, a lot of people. The price has been ranging below it for the last week, and I think really a sustained move above 10,000 will be required to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for the cryptocurrency market. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.